Devlin was now the offensive line coach in the NFL, and they said, hey, just let Coach Fry talk. You know, you're never going to have to say anything. They don't ask the players any questions. First question went to yours truly right here. In front of about 300 media people, and that was the year that they transitioned the walk-on rule to not have unlimited walk-ons or limit the roster back to 120. It had been unlimited before, and I was a walk-on. They wanted to get my perspective, and I kind of nailed it. I was kind of psyched. I did a good job. Coach Fry gave me a thumbs up. And from that day forward, I'll never forget how overwhelming that moment is for these young men that come here and get a chance to do this. So hopefully it's been a good experience for you with them as well. So I think we got a good team coming in Fayetteville. I think we got a group of guys that have been through some trials and tribulations before I arrived, after I arrived. We're going to go through some again this year, but we'll champion them together. And I'm excited where this group is and the makeup they have for a lot of different reasons. So with that, I'll put up any questions.
Okay, we'll start here. Excuse me, on the left side, we'll take two here on the front row and then we'll switch back to the right.
Hey, Brett, beating Texas in the bowl game, how big was that for your school from a recruiting perspective? I know you are proud of the work you do at Texas, and specifically, what were your feelings when you were kneeling down to the yard line?
Absolutely. Did that go viral already? The thing that I did not know, coming to Arkansas, obviously I knew there was a bordering state, and I didn't realize the intensity of the rivalry that existed in the Southwest Conference. And that was explained to me, and obviously we didn't have Texas on our schedule, but it was a team that I was kind of interested in maybe scheduling. After we had Texas Tech, we played TCU. I'm like, why don't we play? Well, who else is left? Let's play Texas. We play Texas Tech and then TCU the next 2 years. So that was in my mind. And as the whole thing unfolded, the first phone call I got after the bowl nomination was Kevin Traynor put me on the phone with Coach Broyles. And to hear from Coach Broyles' voice what it meant to play Texas, to hear from him how the fans would be excited, was kind of set the stage for me, kind of got the juices flowing. And then to go down there to play the way we did and execute as well as we did and to have the momentum come out of that was very exciting for our program. And the momentum that we gained in recruiting was huge. On Sunday evening, I'm flying into Houston. I've been asked to be the guest speaker at the Texas High School Coaches Association Summer Clinic, the largest one in the state that will be there. So I was kind of taken back by that, but I think I wouldn't have got that invite if I hadn't played the way we had against Texas. So we got about 25 plus Texas players on our roster. We call them Tex Hogs, and I think it was a nice way for them to feel as well.
Staying on the front row.
Just get this out of the way quick, Brett. The bar that you and Dan Mullen have set in the shoe game these first couple days, do you expect Les Miles to come in anything other than barefoot tomorrow?
I've learned not to expect anything but the best from Les. So I did not want to take any responsibility for his dress or comments. But I did have some fun. I didn't have Dan's cell, otherwise I was going to hit him this morning. I was watching. I always watch the previous coaches. I don't know what I'll ever do if I'm first, but I always like to watch what other coaches go through in these media days. And so I'd watch Mondays and Tuesdays, and I saw Dan's and the thing. I'm a Nike school guy, man. I love Nike. And I it's not a Dan Mullen thing. It's more about wanting to do a little Adidas versus Nike deal. What was best, I put, MJ and Nike sent me these Nikes, and I had like two people today ask me who MJ is. I'm like, come on. MJ, Michael Jordan, Nike. That's where we're at.
Let's go to the front row here, right side.
Brett, talk about the influence that Dan Enos is going to have in the offense this year. What can we expect different under Dan than what we've seen earlier?
You know, I think two things jump out right away is when he walked in the room, I'm not saying nor do I want him to have to fall into this, but when I saw Rob walk in front of the defense a year ago, there was a certain confidence in what he was saying that the players immediately brought into. And Coach Enos, I think, brings that same type of thing into the room offensively. I saw the players light up. I saw their reactions. So I think that's very, very sincere. A player isn't going to follow someone he doesn't believe in. So that jumped out right away. And then just the X's and O's of it, I think you'll see some of the very similar things that we've had in the past 2 years that have been good, but also some new additions, maybe some quick passing game things, some vertical passing game, some outside perimeter things that will bring a lot to our game. But, you know, the one thing I love about Dan is he does what our players do best. I think that's the sign of a great coach, trying to make your system fit what your players do best, and that's what we'll see.
Second row on the near on. Go ahead.
Coach, you mentioned yesterday you watched the coaches here yesterday at SEC Media Days. What was your reaction when you heard Coach Spurrier say it was cartwheels in Fayetteville following a 7-6 record?
You know, I think you guys tend to hear what you want to hear. I didn't hear it as jetted against Arkansas, maybe one of his in-division rivalries. And, you know, Mom always taught me to respect my elders, so I respect what Coach Spurrier has to say. In addition to that, you know, since coming in this league, no one has been better to me than Coach Spurrier. You know, I've known him for about 10 years now. Sean I, of course, is now the AD at Nebraska, and Coach Spurrier knew each other. Sean and I were good friends. We played a round of golf together, and you know, that first year was tough, and Coach Spurrier grabbed me after that year in Destin. He said, hey, we're not going to play for a couple of years. Let me talk to you a minute, and, you know, really shared some great things with me, and I owe a lot to him for that, because some things that we moved forward and implemented based on some thoughts that he had. So I don't, my feelings weren't hurt. I can assure you, no matter what my shoes look like and any jets that may attach them, I can't do a cartwheel or a backflip. So none of that was taking place. And I think our players, you know, I met with our players yesterday. I just want to kind of always let them know where I'm coming from, some sample questions, some thoughts that we want to share, and I shared with them that, listen, I'm not gonna take lightly to a 7-6 season. You know, it was equal to the worst season I ever had in my coaching career at Wisconsin. So it's by no means acceptable or enjoyable by any means to where we're going to be.
We'll switch to the left side. Let's start on the second row.
Coach, I think your teams are 0-7 in one possession games at Arkansas. Is it tough with their offensive style to transition in the fourth quarter late in games if you're down, or are there other reasons why you guys have lost some of those games early on here?
Yeah, no, that's a great stat. I think when you say 0-7 in one game possession, you're talking about when we didn't get the right possession at the end of the game. So, you know, understand, football is 1 in 3 phases, offense, defense, and special teams. All three of them contributed to those 7 losses. We didn't play the defense we needed to play in the fourth quarter. We didn't execute offensively the way we needed to in the fourth quarter. And special teams wasn't able to take advantage of certain situations in certain games. They weren't applicable in all of them. But I feel that this it is something that I really feel strongly about. Another reporter had asked, you know, in reference to losing close games and what it attributes to. And I broke it down into 3 basic, you know, basic principles that are very true. Depth. At the end of my first year, depth chart and the use of your depth in the third and fourth quarter is paramount in this league. In my previous league, we would run a defensive line basically the whole game, or an offensive line the whole game. We didn't rotate our linemen. We would wide receivers, DBs, linebackers, but not a lot of line depth rotation. We do that now. We will do that now as we move forward a little bit more, but we didn't have anybody. You know, so what it does. Second thing, without a doubt, is 100% on just on execution. So what are we doing? Are we running the ball? Are we throwing the ball? Are we, you know, looking to have first down, red zone, airstrike, you know, to get in the end zone, or a short intermediate route? And that has been addressed in areas that I think better fit our personnel. And the third thing, without a doubt, is execution, or is confidence. It's very hard to get someone that has never done it to do it. You know, think about all the things you ever did for the first time in your life. You know, some were probably easy, but other things weren't. You know, I mean, it's just depending on the scenario. And to go into a hostile environment and win in front of 115,000 people when there's 2 minutes left on the clock is a very difficult thing to do. And I think once we do that, or now we begin to do it at home, now we got to be able to do it on the road. That'll come in leaps and bounds.
Left side, third row, and then we'll come back to the right.
Can you speak a little bit about the impact that Jonathan Williams returning for a senior season is going to have, not just on the right back core, but on the team as a whole?
Yeah, Jonathan Williams, I'll go back to my first day in being named the head coach at the University of Arkansas. I went in the office that morning about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, and weren't a lot of movement. You know, I was kind of sitting there, and I got on the phone, was reached out to a couple coaches that I was interested in bringing with me, and so I shut my office door, and I saw, all of a sudden I saw it was like 7:30, 7:45, and I opened my office door, and first person sitting outside my office is Jonathan Williams. The night before, I believe my running back had won the Dope Walker Award, and Jay Will just wanted to meet me and say how excited he was, you know, to be a part of the program moving forward, and how it's going to be able to help his game and all that stuff. I really didn't know much about it, but just impressed with who he is and who made the initiative to come over there. And since that day, it's been nothing but amazing to me. His draft grade came back as a 3, you know, which a lot of people might jump for that, but he wanted to make that better. But more importantly, he wanted to get a degree for his mother, and he wanted to, you know, finish what he started here at Arkansas on the field and off. And that just shows me what he's capable of doing. And, you know, Jay Will, things have not always been easy for him. And when you grow up in life with those types of edges around you, that can put you through some pretty significant obstacles in front of you. And I think the sky's the limit for that young man.
This will be our final question for Coach Bielema. Second row on the right.
Rep Brandon was in here earlier. He said if he's not being called a game manager, then he's not doing his job as a quarterback. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Job description. And then also, you kind of set the bar pretty high for fat guy plays last year with Sebastian's pass. Anything up your sleeve to try and top that this season?
No, I'll answer the first part. BA first. What I love, you know, I'm not a quarterback. I actually played quarterback until my sophomore year in high school. I did a pitch to the left. There's this DN that was a chatterbox to the right, so I pitched the ball and I came back, hair lift him in the next week. Got a penalty, threw a flag on me, got thrown out of the game. Coach was like, oh, you're a tough guy, you want to play defense? I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what I've been trying to get done. So I stopped playing quarterback after that game. That was as much knowledge I have about quarterback play. So I'm not a quarterback expert or guru, but I understand a good quarterback when I see one. And every quarterback, whether you're playing at up-tempo, no-tempo, slow-tempo, bad tempo, whatever tempo you are, if you manage the game that your coach asks you to run, you're going to be good, you know? And I heard one the other day, I heard Butch call, what do you call his guy? CEO quarterback. He owns the offense. Oh, that's really awesome. Can't wait to use that one. So he's our CEO offensive coach too, player. He owns our offense. But he also can be a quarterback that runs. He's a quarterback that can throw. He's a quarterback that can, you know, be efficient in third and fourth quarter. So he's going to be what we ask him to be, and he's got great players around him, so it's going to make him, I think, have a lot of success. And if that's a game day manager, then God bless him, he's going to be good at it. As far as any trick plays, Chitola's already campaigning. You know, like I said it to the group, you know, that was so much beyond. I knew it would be exciting. I knew we'd have it. I knew we'd probably score because I knew they'd lose the guy in the release. But it's another way for us to showcase players that don't get a lot of exposure. Sebastian has lost 45 pounds in my coaching career to recruit a junior college player who was flunked out of a Division I institution, who had had some junior college struggles, to have been through some adversity in his life, to be the man that he is today is phenomenal. To have a mom call you crying, something that she doesn't even recognize her son because of the way he handles himself in such a way now that is beyond her best dreams. I mean, it's absolutely awesome. But for him to get another pass, probably going to be pretty rare.
Thank you, Coach.
Yep.
Arkansas, Thank you.